warriors, commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
Hey, and welcome to the Movies Hate You show.
Welcome to the Movies Hate You show.
A little off there. Little you bit. Guys are kind of like the Flo and Eddie of Jackalope.
We're trying.
Like the ebb and flow.
I'm dating myself by saying that. Hey, it's the Movies Hate You show, brought to you by...
Wild Eye Releasing.
Hey, I like that. Home good. Wild Eye Releasing. Your... Home for home for all your movie needs.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, there you go.
And you... You are
Mystery Lee Peterson.
Mystery Lee Peterson, the man who puts the gay in geisha.
Hello. Wait a second.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Why not?
Okay. All right.
You don't like that? Hmm. Now, what do you see here on the desk here, right here, next to the microphone?
I see a candle.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, do you know why that candle's on?
No, I don't.
It's because I'm remembering a friend.
Really?
Yeah.
A friend.
A friend who passed.
A friend who passed.
Yes. Uh-oh. A friend who passed.
You want to talk about this?
Charlie later? Christian.
Charlie Christian?
Charlie Christian. Oh. You don't know who Charlie Christian
is? He invented
is?
Christianity?
No, the famous director. You know, Clifford Brown. He also,
Brown.
Known as Clifford Brown.
No, not ringing a bell.
Oh, well, you know him as Jess Franco.
Jesus Franco.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, you know him as Franco. Jesus Franco, who passed.
He passed.
As he passed. Today, so right we light a candle for Jess. Yeah. Now, and right above the candle is what? My Wizard Video Big Box.
I'm looking at, Wizard Video Big Box of Oasis of the Zombies.
Signed by Jess Franco.
Jesus.
When I was kind of, just Jay. Jay Franco.
Jay Franco. Now, did you meet him at, I only met him once.
I met him at his house.
Chiller. Oh, okay.
Yeah, met him at his
he
house.
He did a chiller.
That's kind of fanboy I am.
Oh, well.
Yeah, okay. At his house.
His casa. You mean his casa.
His casa. His casa was my casa when I was there.
See. Did you meet Lena as well?
That's right. I met both of them. I did. I met both of them. I had asked him to sign the box, Robert Zimmerman, but he wouldn't do that.
Really? Yeah. He wouldn't do it?
No.
Hmm.
That was one of his aliases, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did he laugh or did he just not do it?
His IMDb says 199 movies. Now, wouldn't you just want to make that one more to hit 200?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you want to do it? I would.
Absolutely.
I would, like, in classic Franco style, I would repackage some old film, shoot like a new intro, and say that's my 200th film. Mm-hmm. Retitle it.
Orloff 2000.
Orloff 2000, yeah. Return to Orloff.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. The awful is back.
But it's a sad day, though. It's a sad day.
Well, it's a sad day. We mourn Jess Franco. One of the true exploitation mavens.
Right. Yeah, and a complete wild man by all accounts. I mean,
insane.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, completely insane.
And you know, this is almost, Franco's almost a good dividing point between, you know, we've talked about kids today don't have any respect for how hard it was to find things when they were really obscure. Jess Franco's a perfect example of that because, I mean, even 15 years ago, his stuff was completely obscure. And, and you know, you had fanzines. Discovering different pseudonyms and different versions of things, different versions made for different markets, etc. And now anybody can go. It's just all online. I mean, his output is just out there. Not all of it, obviously, but
no. But yeah, that was the thing. You used to have people trying to decipher based on like the crew and the cast. Was this a Jess Franco film?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they would kind of piece these things together. There's a lot of detective work done. I mean, there are, like you said, there were zines dedicated to him, and there are websites dedicated to him, mm-hmm. and guys like Tim Lucas did a lot of work.
Well, I that's where I first. I mean, I'd certainly heard of him, and I'd seen some of his movies, but pretty much dismissed him as a hack.
Yeah, well, he was. Yeah. But he was my kind of hack
until I read the Tim Lucas Video Watchdog article. It was like a huge article, and totally convinced me. At the end of the article, I said, "That's it. I like this guy. There's something really interesting." I mean, that's what I think Tim Lucas does best is he I don't know if you'd call him a reviewer or a critic or whatever.
A legitimizer.
He makes things interesting. He piques your interest, and if it piques your interest, then you'll explore it further.
Did he ever?
Same thing with Andy Milligan. He wrote it was a big piece. Maybe he didn't write it. I think he did, but a big piece on Andy Milligan. It was the same thing. I totally dismissed him as a hack. And
he was.
He was, but there's so interesting my kind of hack. Things. I think of a hack as somebody who just does things for the money, and there's really no.
Oh, right. Okay, well, I'm thinking of hack in a much more endearing way. Somebody who infuses their hack work with their own style.
You're right. Because
it's still hack work.
Right, they're not technically proficient or.
Right, exactly. And Franco was, though. I mean, Franco, you know, I mean, the zoom lens, you know, the rack focus.
Oh, yeah.
It was like its own character in his movies, man.
Yeah.
Well, we mourn him. But that's enough movie talk.
Enough.
What is this, a movie show?
No, heck no.
That's silly. That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else on Franco?
That's
Todd? Okay. You're kind of a Jess Franco, Todd. Todd Sheets, I forgot to introduce you, our producer.
Wow, I'm Jess Franco now?
Now you're kind of like an American Jess Franco. That's a compliment. That's a compliment, brother.
Well, okay, I'll take it.
Well, what do you think of Jess Franco passing? Do you care?
I think it sucks.
Yeah. Well, it sucks when anybody dies, right?
It does, and I really like him. Yeah.
Yeah. I love his kind of non-committal hand. I mean, were you inspired by it? I mean, you're a filmmaker.
You know,
you made like
I think all of us in
80 films behind a guy, but you're almost there.
You know, I'm serious. I think all of us, in one way or another, honestly, do have some kind of an influence from Jess Franco, especially in this industry that we're in. The more independent kind of B-movie kind of thing I love, the drive-in days, I think Jess Franco really was an influence. And, you know, he did a lot of things. I mean, even if, say, you like classic horror, well, there's Christopher Lee with Dracula. If you like exploitation, I mean, come on, there's a million of those. And if you like strange psychedelic horror films, man, he did those too. He kind of did everything. I give the guy credit, and it sucks that he's no longer with us.
Cannibal movies, mm-hmm. karate movie,
mm-hmm.
everything.
Musicals, maybe.
Spy movie, comedy.
If there's anybody listening that doesn't know Franco's work, where would we point them for a good starter? Maybe one of the early Orloff movies, something that's maybe not so wacky, a little more linear.
Vampiros Lesbos.
Yeah, I was going to say Vampiros Lesbos seems to be everybody's entry point.
Really? Okay. All right.
Like that little pun there.
I get it. Great soundtrack too. I mean, the music he did amazing jazz music.
Yeah, he was a jazz musician.
Fantastic. That stuff that totally stands on its own. It's not even.
Oh yeah,
just
that
movie
music. A lot of that stuff's been released. And, you know, there used. I remember in the 90s there used to be like club nights with like Jess Franco music and stuff. Yeah,
right. There were
disco
mixes of the Vampire.
Yeah.
Pyro,
That was big.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Maybe Erotic Rites of Frankenstein? I mean, that's really inaccessible.
Mm-hmm.
I say start off with something very difficult. I guess the Orloff films, too, man. I mean, if you were to just get into them.
Yeah, they're
I don't
movie,
know, man. I'm not here
lines.
To tell people what to watch. Mm. Just here to reminisce.
Okay. Enough of that.
Well, what would you say? What movie would you say?
I would go with maybe one of the Dr. Orloff. What's the first one called? The Amazing. No,
the Awful? The
Awful Dr. Orloff. I'd probably start with that one. It's just pretty.
But it's black and white.
It's black
I don't
and
know
white.
If people would get into that, Matt.
No, that's true.
It might as well be like from 1910.
Silent.
Silent. Silent. So, you promised everyone on the air last week a Walking Dead guest.
I did.
All right, so when do we get started?
Well, here's the deal.
Oh, okay.
We've been postponed another week.
Oh, okay. So this is week three.
We've been promised. You know how these things work.
I do, and that's why
I'm not making this up.
I'm watching you. It's funny because you're like a friend who I'm watching a girl really ruin your life, and I'm trying to help you and reach out to you and tell you, you know, hey, it's making a bad decision here, but you just won't listen to me, and I think you got to learn on your own.
Which decision am I making that's bad?
You're just getting stiffed. You're being a fanboy. You're chasing after something. You're chasing after something, and it's just like this unattainable thing.
Well, I would say
most people would have just given up. Like if you ask the girl out 4 times and she says, I'm doing my hair, let's try next week, and then by the 4th week she's still doing her hair or her auntie's coming into town, it's time to like get the hint that she's not interested in going out with you. Because if she was interested, she would go out with you.
True, but the situation that's going on here,
right?
Is
of
like
course,
that
your
at
situation's
all.
Different, right?
I mean,
right, of course, because you're friends with this.
I won't say a name.
Okay,
I'm not going to say the name of the person.
Okay,
I guarantee you it's 100% legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
I met a cast member of The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
A current member or a previous member?
Well, last week, if you remember, I said that currently this person's still alive on the show.
Right. Okay.
I will not say that today.
Okay. All right.
As of the season finale, I cannot any longer say that the person is still alive. This character is no longer alive.
Right.
That's a hint.
I don't even know who this is. This is a mystery to me. I think this is like one elaborate April Fool's joke.
Well, I wish it was. It would be funnier.
The joke's on you. It seems.
It would be.
Yeah.
It would be. But no, we've been going back and forth between me and the publicist, I think mostly the problem is that this is a live show, and so we're stuck with this 1 hour window here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't have to be. We can
it doesn't have to
do it any time.
Right, I've made the offer.
Yeah,
we might have to do that. We may do that.
Todd, let me ask you something, Todd. Let me break out of this. I'm trying to be fair to Mr. V here, but I'm also his boss, and I have to bust him a little bit. Todd, you've been doing this a long time. You've had major guests on your show. What is the story here? Is he getting jerked around? Or what?
I think sounds like the person's kind of got a lot going on, maybe. So I'm going to give him the benefit of a doubt.
Going on week four now.
Well, keep in mind, this is a cast member show on TV right now.
Exactly.
That has just finished its season
exactly.
run. These people, anybody who's on that show is probably being pulled 90 ways. You know, they're doing interviews with magazines, with TV, with whatever. I think that he's being honest with me. I mean, there's blowing off and there's blowing off. No, I know. I mean, I deal with publicists all the time. I understand publicists are in the game of lying.
Yeah,
and that's fine. They're a publicist is there to create a protective shell around the client
of lies,
and so that no matter how bad the client treats you or wants to treat you, they still come out smelling like roses.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I get the game.
Okay.
I'm not naive here. I'm not.
Well, I'm wondering.
I've got plenty of experience dealing with people.
It sounds like you're being a little naive. To me, it sounds like You know what? This is. I'm seeing myself in you.
Hmm.
You know, because you know, in the '90s, I had a fanzine, and I've done many things where I had to reach out and try to get an interview with someone or get somebody involved in something. And I've been through all this, and it just seems like that you're being pulled along. Almost like, okay, yeah, you're on the hottest show right now, but maybe 6 months from now it might not be and they might need you. In other words, yes, exactly my point. The hottest show on TV right now, what do they need the Movies Hate You show for?
Exactly.
They don't.
Exactly.
They don't.
No.
That's the thing. That's the reality of it. Put yourself in their shoes. They don't need us. So why chase them down? We're here if you need us. Give us a call. I'm not going to mark out for these people.
And if
I'm not going to do it. If you want to do it, that's fine.
If I had been blown off
Todd's
from the
generous.
Beginning, then no problem. Look, as far as I'm concerned, I pitch. I say, hey, you want to come on the show?
Mm-hmm.
If they say, not really interested or I'm too busy or whatever, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I get the hint. I go away.
Mm-hmm.
If they say, oh, absolutely, I'd love to. Sounds fun. C- and then I immediately contact the publicist, and mm-hmm. they immediately get back to me and say, mm-hmm. "Oh, we'd love to do this. Mm-hmm. Can we do this? You know, mm-hmm. next week is looking kind of tough. Maybe we can do the next week." I say, "Sure." We go back and forth, back and forth. There's never been a blow off. There's never been a, "I'm not sure we're going to be able to do," and that'll be fine. You know, if he says no, no hard feelings.
But I think that is the blow off. That is the Hollywood blow off. That is the culture. That is the let's do lunch that never happens. And then you see him again and it smiles and yeah, let's do lunch. And this goes on for years and years and years. I've seen it. I've been involved in it. I've been the victim of it. Now, look, I got jerked. One time I marked out for this show when we met Hal Needham, the director. Mm-hmm. Now, I chased down his book publicist. He had just written a book, and I chased down the publicist to get him on this show to do an interview with Hal Needham, who was a personal hero of mine and one of my favorite directors. And not a very good director, but one of my favorite directors. And wanted to talk to him, and I got a blow-off. I got a... The guy's out there showing the book. Now, he travels from L.A. to New York to show this book to 20 people who showed up. So he's willing to do that, and then all of a sudden, he's not going to do any publicity right now. What do you mean he just wrote a book? What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Hal Needham doesn't need us.
No, but see, that's a good...
Because he's got money in the bank.
No.
He doesn't need to... So he can pick and choose. That's like your friend here from The Walking Dead does not need us. Doesn't need us.
No, of course not.
He's got money in the bank. He's probably got more offers than he or she can handle.
Sure.
But it's true. The thing that is true about it is that this person is completely underestimating the fans. Because this is the grassroots stuff. This is where it all happens. So for them to turn their backs on us, who else are they turning their backs on?
Yeah, and I don't think that it's a question of them thinking that we're some rinky-dink little show.
Of course it is.
Well,
if we were Entertainment Tonight, boy, he'd be available at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, let me tell you.
Why? Of course, it's a whole different thing. But they pay, for one thing.
Okay, we'll make a cash offer then.
Well, no. I mean, because everybody knows what Entertainment Tonight is. There's a million radio stations, and most people don't know most of them. Anyway, hey, you know what? We'll see.
Regardless.
At this point in time, today I've got an email from the publicist.
I'm willing to give you another week. Another week, and then I'm going to go ballistic on you, and I'm going to go ballistic on whoever this person is. I'm going to find out who it is, and on the air, I'm going to go ballistic.
I'm sure he's listening now, and I'm sure he'll, that he's not going to come in.
That was a call out to him to come on the show.
No.
I'm just teasing whoever you are.
It's all good. Nobody's doing anything underhanded.
So perhaps did the person die?
Maybe. Perhaps I jumped the gun by announcing it when I did announce it.
Which I off the air asked you nicely not to promise anything to our listeners that we couldn't deliver. But yet at the end, it was like 3 seconds before we ended, and you had to sneak it in. I saw it on your face. You were being sneaky. And you're like, "Oh, and just so you know," and I almost pushed your face away from the microphone. But you had to do it against my wishes.
But if you listen back to the shows, I've never said anything that wasn't true.
Well, that's not true.
About this.
Oh, no. This is legitimate. Yeah. Like, you're literally working on this. Yeah. But this is becoming the show about you trying to get the guest from The Walking Dead.
Well, let's not talk about it again.
I delivered a guest from The Walking Dead last week in lieu of this person. And we got some juicy information.
Was his name Lou? Is that Lou?
I don't know who it was. And, you know.
Well, tell you what. Let's drop this.
Okay.
And
Todd, what do you think I should do?
What's going to happen next week?
I think you should give the guy one more chance.
Okay, one more chance.
Sometimes things happen, man. We get busy out in the world.
Yeah, man. But if I got something to sell and somebody wants to talk to me, I'll 3 a.m., 6 a.m., I'm all over that.
You're different than this cat, man.
But what happens when this person's career dries up? They're going to come begging the Movies Hate You show. "Please, I want to talk about my stint on The Walking Dead. Let's talk about it." "Sorry, we're too busy." "Sorry. We got David the Rock Nelson coming on. Can't have you. Sorry."
Yeah, William Hung's going to be on.
Yeah, William Hung's coming on. Sorry, you know. No.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of this nonsense.
Yeah, there's enough of this nonsense.
Tune in next week.
Because I had my suspicions that you would fail our loyal audience again this week, I have brought in a guest to fill in.
Really?
Your guest. That's right. That's right. A real legitimate guest who's got something to shill.
Let's bring him on.
Let's bring him on.
Let's start the shilling.
The governor from The Walking Dead is with us.
Oh.
Governor, are you there?
Dang it.
I am here.
Oh, no. It's the governor from The Walking Dead. See how authoritative he sounds?
Yeah.
So,
hello, governor.
So is it the left eye or the right eye that you lost, governor?
The right eye.
Ah. There's a translation problem.
Yeah, I think. But doesn't the governor, the guy who plays, doesn't he have an accent? Isn't he a Brit?
Oh, I don't know. I never heard him speak.
Can you say something again, governor?
Hello, governor.
Oh, wow. There we go. See, now it's like a
Dick
parrot.
Van Dyke.
It's Dick Van Dyke.
Okay, come on.
All right. Yeah, I can't do it. Ken Lucas is with us from unwinnable.com and the Geek Flea. Ken.
Hey, everybody.
Reveal your true self.
Hey,
Ken. Reveal my true self. Hey.
Let's see your veined, pasty white face under that mask.
I couldn't do the governor for you. I'm sorry.
No, that was Planet of the Apes reference.
I was going to say.
Veiny face under the mask.
Behold my, what is he saying?
A true god or something. Yeah. I don't know. I was seven when I was on. Come on, man. Get a life.
This is a momentous a moment, though, because Ken Lucas becomes our very first three-peat guest.
Three-peat. That's right.
You are first.
What's that? Three strikes, you're out, right? Can't have him back.
No, triple crown.
Triple crown.
I was trying to do three strikes. That you say you're going to come on a show and you don't and you're out. But now Todd and Mr. Ree overrode that on me. But now you've got three strikes and you're out. Three times you're in, you're out. How you like that?
I was going to say we have Andrew Lincoln on our show all the time. I don't know what Mr. Ree's problem is.
Yeah, what's the matter, huh?
Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going home now. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Ken, would you like to fill in for Mr. Ree? I have a mystery Walking Dead guest coming.
He's
on.
Chomping at the bit.
I mean, look, there's not even like proof that a Walking Dead guest would get us ratings.
It's probably one of the zombies.
It's not.
That's what we had last week.
It's a speaking role. I'll tell you off air, Ken, who it is. But
we had a call in. I put an ad on Craigslist for anybody associated with Walking Dead to come on for cash to tell us some behind the scenes stuff. And we had a call in last week. From somebody who played like a red shirt. Well, no, it was somebody that lived in Woodbury. Mm-hmm. It may or may not have been legitimate after the fact, but well, I re-listened to it. It sounded a little hokey.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I was so in the moment, I couldn't even tell.
Well, the thing with the baby getting eaten in there, I didn't believe it, you know?
I'm going to guess Mr. Ree has a bit of a handyman lined up.
A handyman.
That's my hint.
I think that's after the show he does that.
My faithful handyman.
Ken, let's talk about you, Ken. Let's forget about Walking. Why should we help them make more money? Let's help you make. Tell me what you do. Let's talk about unwinnable.com, one of our favorites.
Unwinnable.com. Yeah, I'm Movie State U, one of our favorite, Jackalope.
Yay.
Unwinnable.com is our video game geeking. Pulp culture website, and I'm the podcast producer.
And not only that, you hold where can people find that, first of all?
www.unwinnable.com, and our podcast is unlistenable for free on iTunes.
Unlistenable. Can you spell that, Ken?
UNLISTENABLE.
.com.
Well, no, unwinnable.com is the site.
Unwinnable.com. Unlistenable is on iTunes.
Check
those guys out. Seriously, I've been a guest on that show, and they haven't had me back in a while. I guess I stunk, but that's
you were awesome.
Yeah. That's what they all say on the air. That's what the That's what the Walking Dead guest said to Mr. Ree. Your show's awesome. I can't wait to be on it. Now, you also do... Aside from Unwinnable and Unlistenable, you also do Unpinnable, which is a wrestling blog.
Uh-huh.
And
yes.
And a live event. What is it, four times a year now or still twice a year?
Twice a year.
The Geek Flea, New Jersey's own Geek Flea. What are you up at number four now, right? Five, six,
five,
seven?
Is five.
What? Five? Jesus. Tell us a little bit about the Geek Flea. Now, if you're on the East Coast and if you're in the New York area, the Geek Flea is very easy to get to, especially if you're in New Jersey, Central New Jersey, Northern New Jersey, or even Manhattan. But I want Ken to tell us a little bit about, like, when you walk in the doors, what happens at the Geek Flea?
Geek Flea is, I regard Geek Flea as the new legend in East Coast conventions. And it, if you've been to the large conventions of the East Coast, whether it's a Comic-Con or a horror convention, Geek Flea is the best of everything. And we don't have guests, but it's free admission. We have raffles, and you can come, and people have tables. They're selling toys and movies. Some of us make stuff. I make lamps and jewelry. People sell artwork. A lot of it is very pop culture oriented. And it's a good time.
You know, it's the vibe of, I mean, you know, Mr. Ree and myself have been there a few times. Mr. Ree brought his children the last time we went there. We've had a table there, sold stuff. And, you know, there's something about having gone to cons since the 90s, early 90s, there's something very old school feeling about it. In other words, it's not a big shill for the autograph things, which is the big problem nowadays with conventions. Which is not a problem if it's just an autograph convention, but when you throw dealers in there, these poor dealers, by the time you're done spending all this money on whoever, somebody from The Walking Dead, probably, you have no money to spend on somebody like Ken who's making human lampshades to sell. So, oh, you missed that, huh? The Geek Flea has that feeling that it's kind of like a, you know, a flea market meets a convention meets a, I don't know, like a satanic swap meet of sorts, you know, but very cool and friendly to all ages and sizes and races and genders. I don't know.
In theory.
This is the worst show ever, Ken. I'm sorry. I'm working through extreme back pain. Mr. Ree can attest I am wearing a back brace right now. So every word that comes out of my mouth is I'm fighting pain.
You don't have to explain, Rob. We've known each other a while.
No, I know. But I feel like I'm not selling you enough tonight, man. I feel like I'm really – I'm usually – if you go back in the archives and you hear the other Geek Flea shows, I'm really passionate about the Geek Flea. And it just sounds like I'm talking to you as if I don't know what the thing is and I'm reading off of a press release or something. But it's really – it's not true.
But you're not. No, I'm you're really totally passionate.
Yeah, I am, and I'm really invested in what you guys are doing, and it's important to me because there's no one else doing it. You know, it's easy to walk into a convention, pay $30 to go stand next to a C-list celebrity, but, you know, to walk into a place and just to have that cool factor is just not there anymore in other conventions, but you have it. It reminds me of the old days when friends and fans were getting together to share their love of this stuff and to trade information and to trade items and not sell each other stuff and, you know, play the game, celebrity star effing.
You know, and that could almost be what Geek Flea was founded on. You know, we, you know, not only kind of wanting to sell either things you make or things you collect, but just kind of share the culture with cool people and have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I really get from it. It's like, you know, and people are giving stuff away, man. I mean, just like, you know.
And like a Winnable has a booth at Geek Flea, but it's a very small booth. And it's just like, hey, this is what we do. But, you know, at Geek Flea, the focus is really on that flea market.
Right, right. And it's like, you know, oh, you know, I got some great stuff, man. Out of print books and DVDs and, you know, all kinds of. I almost bought those Misfits dolls that they came out with. In the early 2000s, in the early noughts.
Yeah, I have those. I'll sell you those.
Yeah, what are you getting for them?
I'll cut you a deal after the show.
All right, we'll talk after the show. I've always
I don't want to give away my secrets on air, Rob. You know,
those cheap Geek Flea prices. You got to match the price of the guy that was selling them at the last two. I think it was two Geek Fleas ago. And then the guy never came back, or he just, you know, didn't have them anymore. They were gone. What were you going to say?
Well, what I think is the best to me is my kids are really into action figures, and there's tons of boxes of loose action figures for a buck a piece.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I went there with my kids. We left. The kids were ecstatic, and I think I spent $10.
Yeah. In bags total, full of stuff,
including a couple of brownies or a couple of cookies or something. I was a little disappointed that they didn't do the veggie burgers last time.
Yeah. Well, why did you guys lose the veggie burgers, man?
Oh, I'm not in charge of the food. You have to talk to the church ladies.
No, the church ladies had regular burgers, meat burgers, but no veggie burgers. But whatever. Hey, still.
It might have sold out. I didn't know Mr. Ree was a vegetarian.
Ah, so. I think that she told me that they didn't have them this time, but.
Yeah. Well, we'll bring some. We'll bring some Morningstar burgers
for them. Throw them on the grill.
Grill them outside.
And that's the kind of place it is. They would just throw them on. Mm-hmm. They would just throw them on. And there's a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that you brought up this, like, boxes. There's boxes of stuff.
Yeah.
Dig and look for gems, man. Yeah. You're a true picker.
That's the fun.
That's the fun of it, man. Who wants everything, like, baggy hanging on a wall for $50, man? You know, it's just like, I love that, man. Love it.
Toys should be played with.
Yeah, exactly, man. Plus, there's a 50-50 raffle. Not a 50-50. It's like a raffle for they take like 10, 15 items and T-shirts and model kits and all kinds.
Yeah, it's anything from stuff sponsors have donated, like, you know, from Barcade or ADCs.com, Paradox Comics, places like that. They donate gift certificates. Then there's obviously video game swag because we are a video game reporting website to a degree, but. Then there's some big ones. I won Uncharted 2 box set for the PlayStation 3 off, like, maybe spending $4 in a raffle. So that's, you know, like $100 box set.
Are you allowed to win this? I mean, you're part of the one. You're one of the.
I'm part of it, but, you know, if you buy a raffle ticket, you know, the raffle's open to anybody.
Did you have, like, your friend buy it and then you kind of, like, made the trade out in the parking lot or something?
No, everybody's, you know, everyone's allowed tenor.
Seems like a conflict of interest, though, doesn't it?
I guess it does.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe. See, and that's how it's different from other cons. Now, another con, they would have you beat up in the parking lot for something like
that.
Oh,
yeah, I'd be fired.
That's right. Immediately.
But, I mean, I really, when I do the Unwinnable Geek Flea, like, I support Geek Flea behind the scenes prior to Geek Flea, but once I'm doing it, like, I make all my stuff on the side. So I'm really there as a vendor in some sense of the being. I don't really enter the raffles much. I entered that one, and I won it because I really wanted that game.
Now, if you were to take the Geek Flea to the next level, what would that be? I mean, you don't really want celebrity guests of any sort.
Jimmy Snuka. Jimmy Snuka.
Jimmy Snuka.
Which, I mean, Rob is always like Jimmy Snuka, but I think both of you are.
I had a beer with Jimmy Snuka at one of the chiller cons, man. Nicest guy in the world.
Yeah,
no, brother. Roddy Piper was really nice, too.
Yeah,
I didn't hang out with Piper. I met Piper and got a picture with him, but I didn't hang out with him. But I did hang out with Snuka. He walked right up to me at the bar,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get a beer, and we had a beer.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And he walked away, gave me a hang loose, and walked away, man.
Yeah,
that was it.
He said, "See you, sucker," on the way out.
Yeah, he did. He body slammed me on the way out, and I let him. I let him just for the honor and privilege.
You have to.
Of course.
I don't know if Geek Flea would, you know, go into the guest venture. I think we like having this fun kind of family environment. I wouldn't say we wouldn't expand to a bigger space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there could be a possibility of involving more video games and video game artists. We just actually came back from San Francisco this past week. We were at GDC, the Game Developers Conference, and we were filming it. I was part of the film crew and the audio crew, and you know, it's a cool conference. It's a fun kind of, you're talking with developers and you're talking with gamers and critics, and it is not like a public conference. It is, you know, media and industry people. And we held a salon one night where we invited developers to show off some games in the confines of a house to like 50 people. So I could see Geek Flea doing something like that, where we invite developers to show off their games. People are selling their goods.
The first one that I went to, there were some people who had homemade video games. They had made their own cabinets and made their own games, and they were just out there for people to go up and play. But that I didn't see that the last couple ones.
Right.
Yeah, that was Baby Castles in the arcade.
Yeah. But
they do other events, so we try to, you know, get different people in, and I think more often than not, more people want to get a table space and sell their goods. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you had to say, do we want someone to come in and put on a demo for everyone, or do we want to, you know, get more vendors in here?
And right.
I'd like to see more vendors. This show has a lot of vendors.
Definitely, man. It's, you know, and new vendors. Every time there's new vendors, there's more vendors. Different vendors, and then a lot of the, you know, people who, you know, it's one of those things where you, like, you're encouraged, hey, clean out your attic and bring this stuff to Geek Flea. It's not about, oh, I've got this rare blah blah blah. It's, you know what, you know, it's time to, you know, kind of you know, get rid of the old so you can go out and buy some new stuff. It's kind of like sell your Star Trek toys to buy Star Wars toys. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that mentality.
Exactly.
Well, where is the Geek Flea? For anyone on, you know, in the New York, New Jersey area on the East Coast, where
sure,
would
New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, where can you find the Geek Flea? Well, the Geek Flea is Saturday, April 13th at the First Presbyterian Church of North Arlington, 663 Kearney Avenue, Kearney, New Jersey. Kearney is, I would say, probably about a 30-minute ride from Manhattan by car. It's pretty close to Clifton in the Lincoln Tunnel area.
It's right by Giant Stadium. Mm-hmm. It's right in that area.
Yeah, very, very close to that.
So,
and
like,
it's 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
10 to 5. And it's, yes, only, sir, one day. One day only.
Only one day.
Have you thought about doing 2 days?
I have put in my 2 cents into the ring, I guess, to say, like, I think it should be 2 days, but I know it is exhausting to get it all together, and sometimes Geek Flea seems to be at a time when we're, you know, going to a conference or coming back from one, so it makes it a little more difficult to, I think, extend it. But, you know, I'm sure down the line, you never know.
The church would probably be upset if you tried to do this on a Sunday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that. I think if it was 2 day, we would have to be at a different venue, like a convention center.
Or VFW or something.
Or hotel.
Hotel, yeah.
Well, hotel, man. No hotel. Any hotels in Kearney? Well, there's a lot of hotels on Tonnelly Avenue, you know.
Yeah, and then in that whole area, the Rutherford area. That's where Chiller was in a lot of those hotels there.
Yeah, you could take over the old Chiller spot.
Mm-hmm.
The Hilton.
The Hilton. Oh.
Well, that's pretty huge, man. You guys are growing very fast if you do that.
Yeah, but I think down the line that's a possibility. You never know.
I think it is, too, after attending several shows. I think it's a big possibility.
What would be the problem with like, one or two guests?
The fanboy comes out,
well,
yeah?
No, because I think it would make sense. It definitely would be a draw. I mean, I don't mean the same old retreads that we've seen a million times, but if you could hook a couple of, just maybe one or two people that don't do conventions that might bring people in who wouldn't normally come, it might help you.
You know, I think part of it is our approach to the site and being very DIY and punk rock. In a lot of ways that we don't want to do what everybody else does. Like, if you read any of the stuff on the site, is very heady, very, you know, inner material where games play a role in it but aren't the center. We're not doing reviews and things of that nature. And I think that's what it comes down to. Those are not decisions I make in reference to Geek Flea, but I'm sure I could throw this suggestion in, but that's what I chalk it up to, is we're all very punk rock and, like, we want to do it our way.
Mm-hmm. What about like a video game designer or somebody who's not, like, known as a celebrity?
No, I'm sure. You know, I'm sure that's a possibility in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Mr. Ree could get you his Walking Dead guest that he had for the show.
How about the Invisible Man?
Invisible Man. You didn't see him on The Walking Dead?
How about like an Asian co-host of a radio show? That would bring a lot of people.
There you go.
Like, you could sit down, like, he or she
Yeah.
He'd be sitting at a table. Was,
I think that's what Mr. Reed's getting at.
Signing
is,
autographs.
Like, can we have a Movies Hate You show and broadcast live?
I didn't want to ask. I didn't want to, thank you for asking.
You guys could get a table at Geek Flea, the next, you know, Geek Flea 6, get a table and maybe broadcast live.
I think what Mr. Reed's saying is, can you give us a table? Anybody can walk off the street and rent a table. But I think he wants to be treated like a celebrity. He promises a Walking Dead guest.
We talked about
Maybe if Wild Eye donates some DVDs for Unwinnable to raffle off.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking in reality.
One hand washes the other.
Big banner right when you walk in the door. Wild Eye releasing.
Yeah.
Proud sponsor of, and then very small type, Geek Flea Fun. That's corporate. That's branding. That's where we're headed. Talking about where Geek Flea's headed, that's where Wild Eye's headed.
Yeah.
Take over, baby. What do you think of that, Ken? Does that sound good to you guys? Thanks.
I'm
all right,
sure we could work out a deal.
Yeah. So if we were to donate, 50 DVDs, what would I get for that?
You'd have to talk to the boss, but I'm sure we could.
Fancy burger. Well, what else would you want? A cash offer? I mean, what is it? How do I get in here? How do I get a table?
It's cash offer. A small role in one of your movies.
I like that. We'll kill you in a movie. We'll kill you and everybody on the Unwinnable staff during one of your podcasts in a movie. Can we get a table for that?
Now, I'm sure we could work something out.
I don't have a movie to put them in.
I'll get you on Walking Dead.
Todd has a movie.
Todd has a movie. Mr. Reed will get you on The Walking Dead.
I'll get you on season 3 of The Walking Dead. How's that?
I'll get you on season 3.
Season 3 that just ended.
Whatever, you know.
Well, it ended here, but in other territories, like in Asia, it's still going.
Yeah,
still season going. It'll go on and on and on.
Yeah, well, you know, with Merle gone, they need kind of a tough guy on, you know, like a lead, like a real tough lead guy.
In Korea,
I think Ken would be good for
that. In Korea, I understand it's very popular. They call the show Glenn.
Right. What are they called in Japan? What are they called in North Korea?
North Korea.
We'll get back to Geek Flea. Anyway. Well, you know what? This brings up an interesting.
Dumped the chump.
Let's do it. Let's do. Yeah, I know, right? Let's do. That's very difficult to do, by the way. He's a clever one. Let's do a little news. Speaking of Asia and retitling, now this trend, if anyone saw, calling all geeks, Iron Man 3 getting a little changes. Hollywood changing it a little bit for the Chinese release. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about this, Ken?
I have. I read about it.
So apparently, well, it's not as diabolical as we would think, because months ago I was reporting that Hollywood was slowly getting into bed with China. Mm. To me, I'm kind of tracking this. World War Z has been changed. They made a change to that. Red Dawn was changed. That's why it delayed that release. And a movie called 21 and Over was changed as well.
Mm.
What they're doing is, I think Hollywood's seeing that there's, you know, a billion viewers over there. And they want some of those dollars, man, because you know what?
American, gotta do something, all the illegal downloads.
American movie fans. American. Nobody's downloading your movies, Todd. Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Oh.
I just downloaded The Shivers off Cinemageddon.
See?
I couldn't find that movie. I didn't want to pay $70 for it on Amazon.
Damn.
Why don't you re-release it for $9 and
I'd like to do that. Yeah, it'd be nice.
So, my, you know, the thing was, you know, American viewers are so bitter, jaded, ironic.
Mm.
They want fresh faces, fresh dollars, people who just enjoy films. So that's why Hollywood's doing this.
But no, my understanding is with Iron Man 3 is the difference for the Chinese market is there's an actor,
yeah,
a Chinese
two,
actor,
two actors.
Actors whose roles are just boosted up a little bit.
They inserted, it's kind of like when they made those, like, you know, Dean Cain direct-to-video movies in the or Antonio Sabato Jr. movies in the 90s, those direct-to-video action movies, and then there would be a second cut that had like gay love scenes in it, and they would sell it to the gay market. Not with Antonio Sabato Jr., right. But other, you know, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, outsider characters would be in these other scenes. Yes, there are two. There's a female and a male lead who, I believe the male lead is in both versions here and in China, but then they've inserted this popular actress and given her a role in the film for the Chinese audience only.
Mm-hmm. No, we're only hearing about this now, but it's not something new, right? They've been doing this with other movies.
Oh, films, right? Films get butchered all over the world.
Well, no, I mean, but at the adding of characters or actors who are, I'm trying to. There's an
for China. I mean,
for China or Japan. Wasn't there? What am I thinking of here? There was some movie where maybe Jet Li was in it, and he was a fairly minor character in the American release or the Hollywood version, but in the
Lethal Weapon 4, right? Wasn't that?
Maybe that's what it was.
He was the star. They made him the good guy. Star. Yeah, they make him. He's the bad guy here. Mm-hmm. But when he was in China, they rewrote the script where he's actually the good guy, and when he beats up Danny Glover and Mel Gibson, the movie ends.
Right.
Like, that's it. He wins and he walks away, and that's it. That's it. The movie's like 20 minutes long. But that's it. They recut the whole thing. I mean, that sounds plausible.
That's not the movie I'm thinking of, but there was a movie. I cannot remember. I'll probably remember it 5 minutes after we get off the air. But a movie where that happened, where there's also, I think this was just a legend, though, the King Kong versus Godzilla, that they had shot two endings so that Godzilla wins in the Japanese version, yeah. King Kong wins in the American right. version. I think that's been debunked. That wasn't actually true.
But it makes sense.
But it would be, yeah sure.
It makes sense. Sure. That's fun to talk about this. Well, World War Z, there's one point in the film, I guess they try to track where this zombie virus has started, and it all kind of points back to China. Now, China said no. Mm. You know, get rid of that. They won't take it. So it's been rewritten. I don't know what it is now, but probably Africa, because nobody cares about Africa, yeah. right? But they care about China.
North Korea would probably be.
Yeah. There. Well, that's what they did for Red Dawn. Yeah, Red Dawn, it was the Chinese army coming mm-hmm. in, and then they changed it to North Korea.
Right.
Which is probably why North Korea is so pissed off right now and keeps threatening us. I bet you they didn't realize that.
Hmm.
It's all about that movie.
But do they even see movies in North Korea? I mean, everything is locked
I'm,
down.
I'm sure the, you know, the, what's his name? Little Kim. I'm sure he's... I'm sure...
Kim's video.
Little Kim's video. Yeah, I wonder if he's related to
is he related?
Mr.
Are you
Kim.
To Kim's Underground?
Are you related to Mr. Kim from Kim's video?
It has to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, speaking of...
we both worked for Mr. Kim.
At different times.
At different times.
We didn't know each other then.
We didn't know each other then, but we both worked
for Mr. Kim. At Kim's.
Well, we could tell you stories.
Oh, about the I did tell a story, actually, yeah. a couple of weeks ago. About
yeah, it. You never told anybody off the air who that actor was. We had yeah. a couple write-ins.
Oh, well, yeah. I'll tell you off the air.
All right.
This is, you know, speaking of
all right, so that's it for our China segment.
In the news today, was apparently there
the
was a cheesesteak shop in Philadelphia, named Chinks.
Oh, Jesus.
The place has been around for 60 years, named Chinks. They finally buckled under pressure to change the name to Joe's. It's I swear it's Joe's. Now, reading the story,
it could be Chinky Joe's.
I thought it could be. Yeah. Reading the story, it's like, I love stories like this because right. I want to, you know. So it turns out that it was named after the guy who started it 60 years ago. That was his nickname, Chink. He was an American Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was a kid, apparently his eyes were a little slanted. Mm-hmm. And so his friends called him Chink.
Okay.
So in a way, it's still an ethnic slur.
Yeah.
But it's just a little more complicated because everybody's saying, oh, come on, don't be so sensitive. It isn't even named after that kind of chink. It's named after this kind of chink.
It's
the same kind of chink,
yeah,
though.
It's named after a, you know, kind of derogatory nickname to yeah. a white fella. Yeah.
Right.
They could have called it, well, is that what they say in Glengarry Glen Ross? He says, well, come over to Chink's and watch me eat. Is that you talking about that place?
Good question. Yeah. Maybe.
There's a lot of, we've gotten hate mail about this before. Because you're a quarter Asian, you're allowed to do this on the air.
Sure.
And you're not hitting me, and I've done it here. So, you know, we're good. So we assume the viewers are good, but not all the viewers are good. This might be considered racist in itself, even talk about this story.
Well, there's a subtle difference. See, Rob, you can say nigga, all right?
No, don't start with that. Ken, let me ask you about Geek Flee.
I'm saying chink with a C. Okay, it's C, not a K. It's a different word, okay?
Like a chink in the armor?
Exactly. Well, that would be with a K. That would be a slur.
That's
a
slur?
I would have to challenge
you. But isn't a chink in the armor like a little, like, doesn't that, I mean, really?
Yeah.
Is that where it comes from?
There was controversy recently about that because...
Well, what's his name? The basketball
Jeremy
player.
Jeremy Lin, the basketball player. One of the ESPN, I think, headliners was chink in the armor.
I mean, ridiculous that you would do that. I mean, you know, listen.
The guy was
there's
asking to be fired.
You know, there's both sides of it. There are the, like, politically correct thought police that are a little bit too much. And then there's just ridiculous, stupid journalism like that. I mean, that's just stupid.
That wasn't an accident.
They were laughing over the water cooler on that one, saying, like, you know, let's get some press on this. Mm-hmm. Because it's safe. Now, would they have done that if it was a black player? Would they have made a, you know, blah, 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 gets spooked or something? They wouldn't have done that.
Right.
Oh, because that's not safe. So that's what bothers me about that kind of stuff. Anyway.
Although I remember when Jesse Jackson was running against Michael Dukakis in the primary. The primary was at 88, I guess.
Democratic primary.
And it was neck and neck. And I remember hearing people say, the spook or the duke.
Oh, jeez. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And
how about vote for Cuomo, not the homo.
Yeah, that was
our friend Ed Koch.
The late
fellow movie reviewer.
Yeah.
Fellow movie reviewer. Forget all that mayor stuff. Guy reviewed movies.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of us. Ken, what are you watching right now? What movies are you into?
What did I just see?
Come on, quickly, man. We're live here, man.
I know. The last movie I saw was a Serbian film. Twice.
Oh, gee, twice.
That was my favorite film of the year.
Well, the second was at a movie night, and a group wanted to watch it, and the other half of the group got nauseous, so they turned it off.
Was this group, were you guys having a little libation with the film?
I'm sure some people were. I wasn't, but you know, that movie is an intense movie.
If you've seen it. You need a couple shots before you go into that one.
I call it the real life ring, because if you let your friends watch it, they die 7 days later.
Yeah.
How about Room 237? Anybody seen that? This documentary,
it's buzzing like crazy right now.
Shining movie. It's not good, unfortunately.
It's buzzing like crazy.
Yeah,
right now. It's all over the place.
IFC, I think has it on demand.
Yeah,
it's a pseudo documentary about people. It's like five or six different people who have crazy hypotheses about stuff that's going on in The Shining.
Yeah.
One person sees it as a parable for the Holocaust. One person sees it as the genocide of the Native Americans. One person, it's Stanley coming clean about hoaxing the moon landing.
But it's all put on.
It's not a put on. These people seem to be pretty serious about it.
Somebody was just talking to me about that movie this morning, saying, like, it's incredible. Kubrick was a genius. I can't believe all this stuff was hidden in him. There was something that I think was a spectacle in Brooklyn, just played the movie, you know, forward and backwards at the same time, and then like layered them because apparently there's a backwards thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch the movie backwards and it makes sense, and there's clues backwards in The Shining. Is that in the movie? I didn't see it.
That's not in the movie. But there are some interesting things in the movie, and unfortunately they never identify who the people are. We never see them. There's no footage shot for the movie. It's all found footage.
Oh,
the kind of like the Craig Baldwin movies.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
Trip 99.
Yeah. Oh no, Coronado.
Yeah. So that's a little bit distracting because there's never really, you know.
So wait, do they use footage from The Shining?
It's just the footage from The Shining, and then also footage from other movies.
So they have the rights to use the footage from
exactly.
The, not the TV movie, right?
No. Well, you see that a couple of times, just
so
a couple of shots,
okay.
But there's a couple of interesting things there's a couple of shots where there's continuity errors, which you would not expect from Kubrick because he was so meticulous about every little stupid detail. And there's one shot. Now, the conclusion this person comes to is so off base, but it still makes you wonder if it was intentional or not. There's a shot of Jack Nicholson, and there's a chair behind him, a chair and an end table. And of course, the depth of field is that everything's in focus, and they cut back to him, and it's gone. There's no chair and table next to him, and it just makes no sense because you know that Stanley was on that stuff, like, you know, down to the little details where he was taking a can of soda and turning it.
Right.
You know,
so that was on purpose, perhaps to show Jack's mental decay. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Ken, what do you think? Who cares? We're running out of time.
No.
I mean, we're going to talk about chairs. I mean, we just lost whatever audience we had.
They're gone.
They're gone.
Now we can talk about real stuff.
Now we can talk about politics. Forget about this movie stuff. Let's give another shout out to Geek Flea coming up very soon. Ken Lucas, one of the masters of ceremony, Geek Flea. Give us some info. How do I get there?
You could take, buses go down towards down Kearny Avenue or
You could walk there. You could take a plane.
You could walk there. You could take a plane. You could
dive
take a hovercraft.
Where, when? Let's go.
It's April 13th at the First Presbyterian Church of Kearny, 663 Kearny Avenue, Kearny, New Jersey, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Geek Flea, be there.
Bring your singles.
That's right.
For the raffle, that is.
Because there's a Scores next door.
No, because it's a church, and you have to leave a dollar.
Oh, yeah.
You have to leave a dollar in the basket.
Rob, make me a good offer on Mr. Ree's position, and I might get you that table.
Time to roll, gentlemen.
Nice. Well, we can do maybe a trade for those Misfits figures, too. We'll talk about that off the air.
All
right, so Todd Sheets, thanks for producing. Our esteemed guest, Ken Lucas from the Geek Flea. Go to unwinnable.com. And Mr. Ree,
our esteemed co-host.
Well,
not esteemed, but steamed.
Steamed.
He's steamed
because I'm steamed.
Because you chewed me out.
That he didn't bring his Walking Dead guest. But next week, his Walking Dead guest will be here. This has been the Movies Hate You Show. Thank you for listening. MoviesHateYou@gmail.com.
But I got so damn depressed that I set my sights on Monday and I got myself undressed. Well, I ain't ready for the altar, but I do agree there's times when a woman sure can be a friend of mine. Sister Golden Hair Surprise, and I just can't live without you. Can't you see it in my